welcome to the Energy Leaders podcast. I'm particularly excited about the guest that we've got on today, John, who was one of the first people I had the pleasure of actually meeting with in the industry a few years back. So it's great to have John on the podcast today. I think we'll start with an introduction, John, for the people that don't know you. Obviously, Director of Project Development at Chabotin Energy. Keen to get a bit more background on yourself. So how did you get into renewables and what was your interest in joining the renewables industry?
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation. That's good to see you, right? I think when we first talked was before video calls were really a thing. Everything is still on the phone. That was years and years ago at this point. But so my name is John Lennon Miller. That's my fun little trivia about myself because I have a cool middle name. I've been in the solar industry since 2009, which is lifetimes at this point. So how I got into it just from the beginning was I went to school at the College of New Jersey and I was a political science major. And as part of a project that I was doing with a group, we met with the mayor of Ewing. And my part of the project was talking to him about their energy policy and energy programs and projects. And I remember him telling me just the town was really trying to replace all the traffic lights with LEDs to save electricity. And the utility contract didn't let them do that. And I just remember being so frustrated looking at that. And I'm like, it seems so simple. It saves money. It's just a good thing. And it really kind of kicked off energy in my head as something that I never really looked at it as a sector before, right? It was just, hey, I turn the lights on and they work up until that point. So after I graduated, I was interested in energy and I was actually hired by a company called the Solar Center, a solar integrator in New Jersey. And I was hired to research the Obama era cash grants. So this was before the cash grants were around, so to really date myself. So I've been involved in pretty much every sector in solar so far.
Perfect, perfect. And when you got into solar then, what was your personal mission? Obviously, the company has got a mission and we'll certainly get into that. But what's your sort of personal mission? What do you want to contribute and achieve in renewables?
Yeah, well, I guess, first of all, I feel good when I go to sleep. I feel like I'm doing something that's actually delivering a benefit to society.
Yeah,
I can feel good about what I do. The product that I deliver, I think, makes a difference. But my personal mission really is to make renewable energy something that's more understandable and familiar to the general public. Solar energy is something that it has a high barrier of entry for understanding for people. It's one of those things that everybody knows what it is, but nobody really understands it. It's also unfortunately tied to politics and therefore misinformation. However, even from back then, I strongly believe that the benefits of solar energy goes across political lines and can benefit everybody. I just think there's a better way for people in the solar industry to explain solar in a more simple way, to make it understandable for everybody. So that's something that I've been really focused on and kind of one of my goals and the things that I've taken with me through all my stops.
Yeah, yeah. And has that always been the same at all the shops that you've been at, or has your mission changed slightly as you've gone into different companies, or have you generally been pretty set on your mission?
Yeah, I mean, probably when I first got in there, it was just survival, getting into the industry, learning it. Took me like 3 months to realize what an SREC was. I couldn't understand it. It seemed like such an abstract item to me. But probably the last few companies I've been at, that's really what I've specialized in and focused on is being the person that can best explain to the common general public. And that goes from down to landowners, to just people, all the way up to the regulators, right? Being able to explain solar in the most simplistic way so it's understandable and we can get on the same page about it. I think my last few roles, and specifically here at Chabotin, which where it's a major focus, but that's kind of been my focus for the last 5 to 7 years, probably at this point.
Yeah, yeah. No, perfect, perfect. And you kind of touched quite nicely on my next question, which is to understand your role at Chabotin. Mm-hmm. You're Director of Project Development, but what does that actually mean? What are you responsible for? What are you driving at Chabotin?
Yeah, no. So at Chabotin, I lead two of our verticals. One is community engagement. So Chabotin, we take a very proactive approach to community engagement. And in the past, essentially every solar company in the industry that I've worked for, community engagement meant there was a problem, right? Yeah. Typically you follow the bare minimum. And quite honestly, you hope that nobody heard about your project until it was in the ground. And then at that point, it's too late. Overall, I think the industry has changed. And Chabotin, we're trying to become a leader in that space, in the community engagement space early on. More companies are doing it. There's still a few out there that aren't as involved, but I think we're trying to take a leadership role in there. And overall, I think it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing for the industry. So that's one of the verticals that I run here. The other one is our policy efforts. So one thing I was taught by my first mentor, Tim Heinle, when I was at Grow Solar, is the basic fact that for there to be a solar energy market, specifically community solar, there needs to be legislation and regulation to allow it to happen. Therefore, to be successful, you need to know the policy, which is the rule book. I'm a big sports fan, so compare it to sports. The big reason I think that Bill Belichick has been such a great coach is that he understands the rules better than everyone else, and he's able to use it to his advantage. It's a very hard thing for me to say because I'm a Giants fan, but it's true, right? So it's really about understanding the rule book well and being able to play within it and also understand where you can push it, where you can't, and what improvements you can actually make. Chapperton is about 3 years old now and growing. So we're able to invest resources now into better understanding policy and taking an active role in it. I'm glad that at Chapperton allows me to focus on that more because it's important. I have to praise some of the wonderful industry organizations that are doing work in this space. So there's the Chesapeake Solar and Storage Association, or CHESA, and of which I'm the vice chair for community solar. And I've had the pleasure of working along with two of the most intelligent and hardworking people I've ever met. There's Stephanie Johnson, who's the executive director, and Thad Cully, who's the Maryland committee chair, and he leads policy over at Sunrun. So they do wonderful work for the industry. And then the other one I want to mention is the Coalition of Community Solar, for Community Solar Access, or CSA. And it's particularly Charlie Coggeshall, who's the Mid-Atlantic Regional Director, who's just incredibly talented and has this amazing ability to juggle so much at the same time, because that's what it is. So I'm glad I can focus on that here. And I really do lean on the expertise of some really leaders in the space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, kind of touches on the next side of things. And I think your role here is probably going to be very closely tied to the mission of Chapperton, right? We've obviously spoke about your mission in the industry. And how does that tie in then with Chapperton? What are you guys looking to achieve in this industry?
Yeah, so Chapperton's mission is to simply be the most efficient and effective developer of renewable energy projects, right? That's kind of sits at the top of everything.
Yeah.
You know, our founders are energy industry vets with a wealth of experience. They're able to leverage that diverse background to simply identify better ways originating, developing, and financing projects. They have energy market experience, but also experience in other sectors. So it provides a really good viewpoint into what we do and challenges a little bit of what I've just been doing the past 10 years before I got here into a little bit of a different way. We're not afraid to get our hands dirty and really get into the weeds in our development, because ultimately what we're trying to establish is trust inside the industry that Chapperton develops high quality projects and also build a reputation amongst our stakeholders, from local landowners to town, county, state officials, that we're a highly capable organization.
Yeah.
So it's a very detailed mission. We're very driven, specifically by our three founders who just do great work here, give us the tools, the people in Chapperton to do our jobs. And I just lastly want to mention that we really operate based on our three core values, and those are creativity, excellence, and humanity. And we try to weave that into everything we do. And we really do pay attention to that and think, all right, how could we look at this a different way and maybe come up with a creative solution? And one thing in terms of the humanity aspect I wanted to highlight is that our chief executive officer, Stefano Rotti, he led a charge to make Chapperton a public benefits corporation. And really, that was because it was important to us to allow us the latitude to really put people first instead of just pure profits. And I think we've been doing that. We've been looking at better ways we can reinvest. So really, the mission is to be a model, right? To do things better, but also do things a little differently and maybe focus a little bit more on our stakeholders than just our business.
Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes that's quite a brave thing for a business to do as well. Obviously, Chapperton being still so young in the industry compared to some, and there's some giants in the industry, right? And we see so many new starters and new boys on the block kind of come in and they don't quite get the traction they were looking for. And unfortunately, they peter out. And that's not happened for Chapperton. They're growing from strength to strength. And would you say that comes down to having that clear vision and kind of having the minerals to be different and not follow what may be seen as kind of the norm when approaching the market?
That's right. I mean, it's about having that clear vision, and it's about the people that you bring onto your team having those same values and also giving them the latitude to do their job and empowering them to do it. I mean, so far we've been lucky, I think, at Chatterton, where everyone we brought onto the team has really fit into the culture, fit into just the mindset of what we're trying to do. And it just makes doing our jobs that much easier and makes us that much more effective, especially when, right, it happens to me all the time. I make a recommendation and it's considered. And more often than not, if it's a good recommendation, it's approved, even if it's something we've never done before. Yeah. And I think giving people that capability just makes them that much better and then keeps everything rolling.
Yeah. No, definitely. I certainly agree. And what's kind of the biggest challenge that you guys are facing at the minute? Every organization has challenges, maybe some more than others. But yeah, what's the biggest challenge at the minute for Chatterton?
Yeah, and it's Chatterton, I think it actually goes around to the whole industry. So I think the biggest challenge the solar industry as a whole is facing right now is how we message ourselves. We hit on this a little bit earlier. To me and my other colleagues in solar, we think our industry is a no-brainer, right? We're like, God, everything's great. Yeah. Well, I don't know why anyone would have any problems with this. However, in talking to the general public and local politicians and regulators, it's clear they don't share that and they simply don't understand it. And sometimes it's a bit frustrating because you're talking to them. You're like, how can you not see this is great? And it's managing that. So some of that is due to self-inflicted wounds. By that, I simply mean the solar industry. We haven't dedicated enough resources to education and public relations. We're also, by nature, especially compared to other types of energy generation, a much less consolidated industry, right? I can't think of that giant juggernaut or the small group of major companies that are controlling everything. Most solar companies specialize in a specific geography and we venture out for targeted opportunities. The entire regulatory framework changes on a state by state and a county by county and town by town basis. So it leads to that geographical specialization. Yeah. So what you get is a very diverse world of solar developers. When you have that, it's very challenging to enter into a consensus on pretty much anything. I've been on enough industry calls to know it's just difficult to get us all together on a common voice. We all have our own takes on things personally and professionally. And it gets even more difficult when you're working within various sectors of the industry. Yeah. There's just basically, right, there's residential, there's commercial, there's community solar, there's other distributed generation, there's utility scale. And we all have a little bit different take on what we want to see the industry grow with. So it, quite frankly, when you're dealing with that, it takes a level of patience next to sainthood. And something I do not envy that people like Stephanie and Thad at Chessa, who represent that broad sector, have to deal with on a daily basis. It's, you can't make everybody happy. And the problem is then everyone doesn't have that one voice. So self-inflicted wounds on one side, and then we have our outside challenges, our exterior challenges. Namely, this is because I think solar energy has become interwoven into politics, which is something I promise you we don't want. I can't tell you how many times I've had to clear up very basic misconceptions about solar energy. I recently had to assure a group of neighbors that birds don't explode when they fly over our equipment. Quite frankly, I don't think they believe me. In a certain county, we were working on developing their local ordinance. And one of the county commissioners made the statement that, well, when they decommission these projects, which is essentially when we uninstall it, they'll just take a bulldozer to it and knock everything down and cover it with dirt. And I'm like, that is so profoundly incorrect. I don't even know how to respond. Every developer has their stories about this. And while they're often humorous, it's also really scary knowing that we're fighting such an uphill battle. And most importantly, it's clear that most people don't understand the benefits of solar energy. So that's what leads to the real issues. And it's difficult for us because we spend so much time speaking with legislators, both at the federal and state level, that we often forget about the general public. And what that creates is where you have really wonderful federal and state policies that support solar. But then once you get down to the county and town level, right, and that's our bread and butter, that's where we actually put projects, that's where we run into major challenges. Yeah. And having just the best federal and state policy is wonderful, but if localities simply won't permit our projects, the whole industry is going to ultimately fail. And I've seen this time and time again in all the industries and sectors I've worked in, states. And it really is, I think, the major problem here, because that's where we put our projects. And we're failing, I think, as an industry in getting our message out at the grassroots level, at the residents, landowners, all the way up to the local regulator level.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of ties in with what you were saying earlier in terms of Chabot's mission. It's that communication piece of, being able to communicate the benefits of solar and potentially even wind for some other organizations, but on a basic level for where, landowners can understand and the community can fully understand the benefits and that birds aren't going to explode and go near them. And just kind of those basic elements of why it's beneficial. So my next question may repeat itself a little bit for what you've spoken about there, John, but how do you plan on overcoming those challenges then? What is the route that maybe not just Chabotin, but maybe other organizations that are feeling the same pain and experiencing the same issues can do to kind of overcome that?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. And it's something that I definitely stay up at night thinking about. So it's the main focus of Chabotin. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to lead ourselves. Yeah. But we also are trying to urge our industry organizations to make this a top priority. The solar industry is full of incredibly smart people. However, we do not do a great job of sharing information and working together. When you have so many smart people, they're all feeling what they're doing is a trade secret. And they don't want to share it because, I'm doing it a different way everybody else is. Well, newsflash, you're not. I mean, everyone's generally doing things the same way. But it causes an issue because we're not sharing our resources. So what I've been pushing for, both within Chabotin and within the trade organization, is better collaboration amongst our companies. This includes working together, sharing resources, and trying to speak with a common voice that is for the common good of the industry, though sometimes it might be at the slight expense of a personal benefit for a specific company. And I think we are growing where companies are understanding that a bit better. This type of collaboration is simply integral to the overall success of our industry, and it will lead to our industry's ability to better educate the public about solar. Some of the biggest challenges I've had is having to correct other solar companies when I'm speaking to the general public. And you never want to do that, but sometimes we're just not doing a good enough job with that common message. Oftentimes, this education, it starts at the grassroots level, like I've been mentioning.
So,
bringing it down to the basics and what I parrot almost on a daily basis. Community solar, I strongly believe, offers wonderful benefits to everyone. We save money for utility customers on their utility bills. We provide lease revenue to local landowners, oftentimes allowing them to keep their property, keep ownership in these tough times. Our projects pay significant tax revenue to the local government, and we require no services or cost to them. We generate clean, renewable, emission-free electricity. We're a powerhouse in fighting climate change. But one thing that sometimes is forgotten about is solar energy is more than just about clean energy and climate change. It's also about land preservation, landowner rights, energy choice, and ultimately free market competition. I mean, those are really the bases of most American policy. I mean, dating back to the founders. And it's something that I think solar can provide benefits to the states that we're doing business. And I could keep going on, but the general message here is that community solar has that ability to benefit everyone. And those benefits really cross the typical political spectrum.
Yeah.
So after giving you my laundry list of things why I think it's so great, the challenge is how can we get that message out there in a way that's digestible to the general public? And there's really no silver bullet here. We can only do so with the hard work, getting the message out, over and over again. Repetition is key. Hopefully until it becomes ingrained, right? Ingrained in people's minds. I mean, one thing I've noted is, God, some TV shows, I'm starting to see more solar panels in them. And I'm like, well, that's wonderful, right? What most industries have done. Yeah. A little bit on that, on us being kind of accepted. So I had a project in one area and there were these huge transmission lines right next to where I'm putting my project. And all the neighbors were upset that they might see my solar panels. I'm like, you've seen those giant transmission lines that are 100 feet tall and they buzz when it rains because I used to live by them. Like, And that's totally fine with you because you just know it better. Yeah. But mine, which is ultimately a smaller impact, it's 11 feet off the ground. It's quiet. It's something new. So it's about getting it out there, getting it a little bit more accepted. We're light years behind traditional energy companies, and we don't nearly have the same budget, right? We don't have that same budget to spend PR and marketing and really mostly lobbying, quite frankly. So we need, how do we fight back? We need to be more efficient. We need to establish local champions. Those are influential people in the community who will fight along beside us. So it's not just solar industry people rallying about the solar industry. And once we're able to get the industry collaborating and sharing our individual resources, and that would include our customers, our property owners, our project owners, and our local project owners, and our local champions, we'll be able to bring that diverse consortium together. And I think we'll have a really influential voice. We just haven't done that yet. And I think we are getting there. And ultimately, I just think we're scratching the surface here. And I do look forward to what we're able to accomplish moving forward, because I think we're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those people, they don't like change. This is potentially new for a lot of people. And they just don't understand the benefits. They don't see the value add of having these projects in and around their area that they're living in. But hopefully things will change. And we've got time for one last question here, John, which is, how do you see the industry changing or growing in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah. So, well, going back just 1 second, if I had a dime for every time I've heard, I love solar energy, just not here. I could retire early. But in terms of the industry changing and growing over the next 3 to 5 years, so the major catalyst for our industry is the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA.
Yeah.
The IRA gives our industry much needed stability for the next decade. And the challenge for our industry is to not squander that opportunity. It provides a great federal framework, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done to actually develop these projects. And that includes the local partnerships with localities to ensure we have places to actually put this stuff.
Yeah.
So what I see over the next 3 to 5 years is the industry maturing. So solar has been around for a while, but it's still fairly nascent, especially when you compare it to the other energy sectors. One thing I'm really excited about is domestic manufacturing market. So combining the tax credits from the IRA at the project level for domestic content and the tax incentive for manufacturers to operate their facilities in the United States, it finally means we're going to be able to deliver on this vision and promise the industry's had for years about developing local projects using local materials. We just haven't been there yet, but the IRA, it finally sets that up. And I'm really excited to use US-made panels in my US projects.
Yeah.
In regards to what we've been discussing, I see the industry maturing to a point where we're going to be able to better collaborate on those issues that benefit the industry as a whole. I see more and more companies like Chaverton investing into policy and getting directly involved in regulation, which I think is wonderful. We're not as much leaning on just our industry organizations as we used to. We're actually doing it a bit ourselves, and it's bringing more voices to the table. It's also a lot of times bringing more local voices to the table, right? Because part of the reason I'm excited to go, I'll be in front of the House committee about the Community Solar Permanent Program bill next week, is because I'm a Maryland resident and I'm representing a Maryland company. And I think that means a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. And we're going to see more and more of that. And while, of course, collaboration has its own challenges, I think we are finally rowing in the right direction. And really, the IRA, what it's done, it's provided that federal certainty. And now we should be able to turn our attention to the individual states and also the localities, whether that be counties or towns. And I guess the soundbite role ultimately is the opportunities in front of us. The Inflation Reduction Act has set the table for us. And now I'm excited to see us execute on it.
Yeah, no, perfect. I agree. I think there's going to be some good growth in the next 3 to 5 years. It's certainly exciting for everybody, especially guys like yourselves that are really just getting the momentum and getting going. So yeah, it's great. I'm excited to see where things lead to. And that brings us to the end of this podcast here, John. So I appreciate you. Absolutely great to get a bit more insight into you and Chaverton and the overall mission. And so thank you for taking the time to join us. And please do join us again for the next one, where we'll have a new guest and we'll cover some new topics on the next one. Thank you.